Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Yummy Wisdom Healing Happy Hour. This is your host, Maggie Spielpinning with Abby's Holistic Coaching. And Yummy Wisdom, what do I want to say about that? Yummy Wisdom are those serendipitous events and happenings and bits of knowledge and wisdom that we're exposed to that completely rock our world, like something opens up, a new way of seeing life that wasn't available before you were exposed to this new way of thinking and being. And I live for stuff like this. And I had the joy and honor a couple of years ago to go on a 40-week journey learning 8 different topics that had to do with healing and liberating ourselves from the mischief that we bring into our lives. And I loved this series. It broke me wide open and tore me apart and spit me out, and I came out the other side with so much wisdom and so much ease. And so I'm going to be sharing few of these topics. The next few shows will cover things I've learned. So the reasons people refuse to heal, that's kind of a loaded topic title, isn't it? Refuse to. When I learned this topic, when I started exploring, just the word refuse really had, kind of raised my heckles. Like, refuse, that's a pretty strong, bold statement. And what I realized is that it's not refusal like a stubborn child. I don't want him, you can't make me, and I'm stomping around. It's not that level of refusal. It's more like if you're drowning and there's 3 of you but only 1 life preserver. Y'all are going to be fighting to be the one that gets to keep life preserver. Like our will to live will tramp any, you help yourself go first. So that actually brings me to, that phrase, the will to survive. There's will in that. And there is will that is needed in order to heal. Isn't that, it's a very powerful, bold statement that in order to heal, the most important thing is the will to heal. Like, this will happen. Like Einstein saying, there is will in the universe. Like that kind of will. So if it's that simple, if all that's required to heal is that you have the will to heal, why are so many of us still so bombarded by our wounds? And let me actually give some examples of what I mean, the kind of wounds that we refuse to heal. I don't mean like a broken leg where there's actually time and medical care involved. I mean more like the wounds that we drag around with us. Like, look in your life. Think about times you've been disrespected or dishonored or betrayed or disregarded or had your feelings hurt or weren't cared for or weren't safe. Those are the kind of wounds that we carry around, and we don't let go of them. And I'm going to wrap this around the kinds of things abuse survivors go through. So as an abuse survivor, we start to put strategies in place that keep us safe. So if something happens that wounds us, often we will keep that wound in the forefront so that we don't ever go through something like that again. And It's like the will to have the bad thing never happen again, which is survival-based, will trump the will to heal. And the will to heal comes more from the human spirit aspect of who we are than from the human animal aspect of who we are. So let's take a look at what are some reasons that people would refuse to let go of their wounds. One area would be we identify with our wounds. Like, think in your life, anytime you've ever said, well, I don't do that. I'm just the type of person who doesn't do this or does do this. Like, one of mine was, you know, I identified with being what I called a recovering Catholic. Every pun intended when I say that that forgave all kinds of sins. Like, I could just pull out the, well, I'm a recovering Catholic card. And when I was younger and most of my friends were also Catholic or recovering Catholic, I just had to say that. And people would get it. Oh, yeah, you know, that's like, it was like a get-out-of-jail-free card. If we identify with the wound, it becomes part of the definition of ourselves. Like, well, you know, 6 years of Catholic school, that brings up a world for people that many can identify with. Often our wounds can be more painful than that, more horrific than that, and that people identify, they claim it, like my cancer, my rape, my diabetes, my lack of self-confidence, you know, so they're not all horrific, but the things that we claim are harder to let go of. I actually was sharing this with a friend who used to identify her diabetes. And she's like, that's just so hard to manage my diabetes. And we played a game of, well, what if you called it the rather than mine? And so she was saying, you know, the diabetes, the diabetes, the diabetes. And it was like a light bulb went off where when it was the diabetes, there was suddenly room for her to bring some play and some creativity to the conversation of how do I plan healthy meals. So when it was my diabetes and she was managing my diabetes, all she could see was the healthy food I have to eat, most of which she didn't like. But ironically, when it became the diabetes, there started to be room to look at, well, what would I like to eat that's actually good? I don't know why it shifted, but it did, and it was just exquisite how something that simple, changing it from my to the. So how you can explore something that you hold as, well, I'm just this way. I'm scared of heights, or I'm Catholic, or I'm what have you. I actually rely on, I am Scorpio and year of the monkey. That also, I think, excuses all kinds of snarky, sarcastic behavior. At least it seems to. It's like a justification. So anywhere that you think something is true about you, what do you think is true about you? That's an area where you might see that you have a wound that you haven't let go of, or at least a belief about yourself that you have not let go of. Oh, let's see. There's also belonging. You know, human beings, even though we're all very individual critters, we're herd animals. You know, we're mammals who run around in herds. And we have an instinct to belong. Excuse me. So often, our wounds will have gloves, you know, like, so we can belong. So if you Google online, survivors, you know, something awful happened to survivors, you know, children of alcoholic parents, even Alcoholics Anonymous, they're like ways that people can belong and have agreement and have community about how these wounds have had an impact on our lives. You know, the wound of being the child of an alcoholic or the wound of being an alcoholic yourself. It's nurturing and safe to have a community around you. And when we're in our communities, it's like we tell our stories, and we retell our stories about how it happened and who did it and all the things that have changed because of it, all the wrongs, and why they can't do certain things. You know, can't act this way, can't behave this way. And that's not to say that it's bad that there are organizations and groups that get together to help each other. And you'll just want to notice, are these groups allowing you to move through something and heal? Or are they keeping the wound in place? Our wounds make great justifications. You know, they make terrific justifications for doing what's easy or not taking risks or being, you know, shitty to other people. You know, I'm this way because blank. Like I remember when I was going through my divorce that there were times I was just pissed. I was exhausted and stressed, and I was just pissed. And I didn't seem to care who I got my pissed off all over. And people would go, whoa, you know, turn it down a notch, woman. And all I would have to say is, divorce. And everyone, you know, it's like they back off. They totally get it. And, oh, yeah, divorce. It must be awful. Awful. And, you know, I look back on it, and it's much easier to look back on this stuff through the eyes of a calm, happily married woman to see, you know, yeah, that was kind of not okay. but that's, you know, 2020 is hindsight. But our wounds, you know, where do you use the upsets and hurts in your life to justify things? You know, where's, you know, my mom didn't hug me enough, or my dad yelled at me, or whatever the wound is that you use, so that you don't have to do things that you wouldn't want to do anyway, but it's just easier to release them with, oh, well, I can't do that because of this thing that happened to me way back when. Our wounds are really great at getting us attention. You know, people, it's like that whole misery loves company, that is a brilliant line on so many levels. On one level, there's the whole energy of the kind of energy we're putting out is what we attract. So if we're putting out, you know, something miserable and hurt, we're going to attract misery and hurt. Or at least commiseration and agreement with the hurt. there's like this morbid curiosity about bad things happening to people. You know, like if you ever notice how people slow down when they're driving past a car wreck. And it's not like we want to see people suffer, But there is this, oh my God, you know, how many people were hurt? Curiosity. It's very visceral in many of us. And so it's amazing how much empathy and sympathy we can get when we talk about, you know, oh, I was abused, or oh, one of my kids is suicidal, or anything that just tugs at the heartstrings. And this is not to say don't reach out to your community and get some help when you're suffering. Do that. And just notice, is it something that you've carried around for weeks and months? Or is it something that you've been dragging around for years and years and years, and you don't have any freedom around it? It's like the attention can be burdensome. Oh, gosh. Our wounds allow us to be righteous and arrogant. Like, I know better than you. It's like there are a way we can dominate people. Like, you don't know what it's like. You lived in a happy household. That's a way I have been able to dominate people. It's amazing how, you know, you were raised in a happy Ozzy and Harriet kind of home. God, my throat, I'm so sorry today. So we can be righteous, or we can use our wounds to manipulate people. Then we use our wounds to justify punishing people and making them pay, lashing out, making them pay again and again. If you've ever heard yourself say the words, how could you do this to me? That's the kind of lashing out I'm talking about. And again, let me add the caveat that if it's a one time in the moment, how could you do this to me? And that's it. That's very different from years later pulling that same card out and saying, how could you, you know, do that to me? That thing that I bring up several times a year for the last several years. That's when it's a manipulation. The rawness of immediate emotion is very different from using the aftermath and the memory of years gone past stuff to punish people or manipulate people. Excuse me. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. I think the point, if we begin to recognize where we're refusing to heal from something that's hurt us, we can then own it and create a safe space. And this safe space might include grieving or experiencing embarrassment or shame. You know, and until you go through claiming it and owning it and going through whatever emotional mischief you have to put yourself through to claim it. Once you claim it and give up all the justifications, then you can start to bring will into place. And there are some amazing healing modalities, a couple of which I'll be sharing in later programs. And they're just fabulous to help you use your will to heal from wounds past. So let me see. Again, I am going to end our show a few minutes early today since we have no callers and since I cannot manage for this cost much longer. So blessings and bliss, my friends, and we'll talk again next week. Bye-bye.